Good morning.
Good morning.
Please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that's it. We're going to start with verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Gracious, almighty, magnificent and glorious Father in heaven, creator of everything. You've sent your Son to redeem us. You paid the highest price to save us. You've spoken your word and you've given it to us. Your word is powerful. Your word is active. All these things that we face, your word is the solution that stands in front of it all. Let us stand on your word today, Father. Give us ears to hear. Speak through me. Have mercy on me, Father. Guide and direct my words. May they be from you. I'm nothing but a fool up here. I need you. It is your word that has power. The wisdom of man is folly, but even your foolishness is salvation. Guide and direct, Father. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That was a little off script. I was going to stand up here and proclaim that all scriptures breathed out by God, and it is, and that is what I'm going to do. But it became very evident today that the context here is so important. It's in the face of all these things bearing down on Timothy, bearing down on the church, bearing down on each one of us, as things indeed do get worse. The context of why all scripture being breathed out by God is so important to remember. There's problems that I don't have the answers for. You can stack all the psychology in the world and just throw it away. It's worthless. But the Word of God is powerful, is mighty to save. The sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation in Christ Jesus. And Paul tells Timothy to continue in what he's learned, what he's been entrusted with, remembering who he learned it from: Paul, Eunice, Lois, his grandma and mother. And this word has been passed down to us from prophets and apostles, preserved 40 authors, thousands of years, one seamless story, cross-references and chiasms. Without error, without contradiction, preserved divinely, and entrusted to faithful men like Timothy to preach and proclaim. Communication requires a sender, a receiver, a message. I mean, those are the three essential elements. You can't communicate without all of them, right? God has sent this message to us. But not everybody hears. Those who have ears to hear, hear. And those who don't, don't. As Jonathan talked about the four soils, there's hard soil out there. There's rocky soil, there's thorny soil, there's good soil. And it's a condition of the heart. And only God can prepare that condition. So all scripture breathed out by God is not received. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, a preview of coming attractions here. And I know this is where Jonathan was intending to go last week, and he paused on Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. And why does that message impact some and come off as folly to others? We learn about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 6. Yet among the mature, we do not impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And if you go with me to Isaiah chapter 55, keeping in mind that mind of Christ that we are given. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The word of God is indeed living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it goes out and it accomplishes what God intends. We read in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. We learn about God when we read the Word, when we bathe in it, when we meditate on it. We grow closer to Him, we grow more like Him. It's supernatural. If you want to improve your marriage, you might do that just reading out of Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning. It's not a matter of digesting information. It's a matter of relating to the Creator. And we're able to relate to Him because He has revealed Himself to us. You are not going to find God on your own. From the authority of Scripture, I can tell you that's true. You're not going to find Him. But He can reveal Himself. Ears to hear. With the Holy Spirit, God can reveal Himself. All Scripture, every jot, every tittle, is breathed out by God. It is authoritative. Remember when God made the covenant with Abraham and he swore to himself, you know, there's no higher authority. When we go to the court of law, we might swear in a Bible. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you, God. We swear in the Bible. God swears to himself, I am who I am. Reminds me of, you know, when my kids were little and they wanted the explanation, why can't I cross the road? Why do I have to eat my vegetables? Why? And I might play along with that for a little bit, but at some point, because I said so. We know that, right? And God has that same authority. It's the ultimate authority. And for those who have ears to hear, it's self-evident. Just like the glory around us, we know that there's a creator because you look around. You see the spring, you hear the birds, you see the flowers blooming. How does that happen? Because God exists. He makes it so. And in the same way, his word is living and active in our hearts, those who have ears to hear. Breathed out by God. What a statement. Shakespeare can't write anything like this. All scripture is breathed out by God. It's also translated inspired, but the more accurate is breathed out. And doesn't that remind us of Genesis chapter 2, when God breathed the breath of life into Adam? You know, think about that. I mean, God obviously doesn't have lungs. He doesn't have a mouth. He's a spirit. But it's a way to relate to us, right? From inside. Imagine it. My lungs right here by my heart. It's me. It's breathed out into Adam. And this is one of those areas where the Septuagint's helpful because the Hebrew was translated into Greek, and so we can kind of cross-reference where was that used again. In John 20:22, Jesus breathed out and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Same word. Creation versus new creation. Adam versus new Adam. As we were praying earlier, about how these temporal things around us, these things that we're going through, different trials, different circumstances, different difficulties, these times of difficulties, right? There's lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, that whole list. And we can cling to the word of God and we can cling to his promises. And we can be a lamp on a hill. We can testify that hope that's in us. We can have a comfort in God's sovereignty. Just like God breathed life into Adam, and Jesus breathed out and received the Holy Spirit. God breathed out his word. And his word has these benefits. It's profitable for teaching, doctrine, showing the way, proclaiming the truth. There's a profit in and of that. For reproof, for conviction, rebuking, convincing of the truth, and for correction, correcting error. You knew better, shouldn't have done that. For training in righteousness, practice, training, running that race that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, I'll start with verse 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. You were dead in those trespasses. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, let that soak in, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I love the verb tense there. It's written. This is already done. It's just a matter of when we see it happen. Verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, that whole sequence, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works. You know, our works, our righteousness is as filthy rags, not of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And Paul tells Timothy, all scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All those bad things, here's your sword. There's good works prepared for you. Now do it. And I love the sequence here. Teaching, reproving, correcting when you get off track, and training. That endurance, running with patience the race that is set before us. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I have so many bookmarks in my Bible. There are so many things that we're going to talk about. But I'm going to leave it there. That seems right. And close with Psalm 19. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power. We thank you how it can cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us useful to be put to work for you. For there is eternal benefit in that. And Father, may we earnestly pray that workers be sent out because the harvest is great. Send us out, Father. Lead us where you want us to go and help us to have a heart to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.